Turn with us to Isaiah chapter 57. While you're turning there, I just want to say it's good to see each one. We see some new faces and visitors. We're so glad you're here. See Brother Paul Preke back there. And something was said tonight reminded me when I went to his church for a revival the last time, right before I had left, Emily and Andrew, my son and daughter-in-law, just had a baby that came 6 weeks early. And we was really burdened. And the first night of the revival, I made a request for a little Cash. They named him Cash because we knew what happened with Caroline and Charlotte. They had these brain bleeds. And we was real concerned that this wouldn't happen. So we requested prayer that first night, explained it all to the congregation, to pray for Cash. Now the rest of the week, I didn't go and get involved and tell all the details. Every night I'd just say, pray for Cash. And people started handing me cash after service. I didn't tell the whole story. Pray for Cash. I had to explain to them I wasn't asking for money. That's my grandson's name, but we're glad he's doing good. God helped him, brought him through that. He's doing good now, growing. Isaiah 57, 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Also in Mark the 9th chapter, verse number 43. Mark 9, verse 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. To the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt in the life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. My message tonight deals with the subject. Eternity is too long, and hell is too hot. Eternity is too long, hell is too hot. I'm talking to both saint and Christian. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about two different people. People that don't know God, out and out sinners, people that don't have a profession, but didn't stop there. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, none of us have it made yet. None of us are in heaven yet. If you're still breathing, you don't have it made yet. And I know we might not like to think about this, but any one of us could still end up in hell. No matter how long you've been saved, how long you've lived for God, it's still possible that we could backslide, that we could lose our soul in the end. But eternity's too long. How long is eternity? Your soul is made in the image of God, and that soul within you is going to last forever throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. It was Billy Sunday, the evangelist, that said this way. Imagine a little bird taking a grain of sand, flying to a distant planet. It would take 1 million years to fly to that distant planet. Then he would drop the grain of sand, then the little bird would fly back to this earth, which would take another million years. He gets another grain of sand and he flies back to that distant planet. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth he goes. When he will have transplanted every speck of earth to that distant planet, it would only be breakfast time in eternity. Eternity is too long. Eternity is forever. Whether you realize it or not, you're going to live after this life is over in eternity, forever and forever. You will either be with your Father in heaven or you'll have to face eternity separated from God, from the saints of God throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Your window of opportunity is now while you're still alive on this earth to get right with God. God has given you the choice to either accept or deny his son. Friend, the choice is yours and your eternity depends upon it. Hell's too hot. Our Lord talked about hell and he talked about cutting your hand off. Be better to enter in life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Cut your foot off. Be better to enter into life with one foot than have 2 feet to be cast into hell. Pluck your eye out. No, he's not talking about literally cutting your foot off and literally cutting your hand off and literally plucking your eye out. But whatever's hindered you from getting saved, you need to get rid of it. You need to give it up because it must be hot. He said the fire is never quenched. And he keeps repeating himself over and over. The fire is not quenched. The worm never dies. Hell's too hot. Eternity's too long to take any chances of going into a lost eternity. That's some things we want to mention. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot to be careless about your salvation. I see too much carelessness when it comes to salvation. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter and verse number 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath not, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Friend, when it comes to Christianity, when it comes with our experience with God, we need to be careful. We need to be diligent about our experience. We need to take care of it. 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence that you make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Are you careless about the way you dress? I see carelessness in this area. Carelessness. We're told in the Word of God to dress in a modest way. I recently preached a couple messages back home on modesty. It didn't go over too good with some people. A lady knew I was coming up to Ohio to revival, and she met me at the back door. She said, I want you to go up to Ohio and preach real hard and get all this out of your system. It ain't getting out of my system by the grace of God. Are you careless about your attitude? Are you careless about your actions? Are you careless about the music you listen to? Are you careless about the materials you read? Are you careless about what you watch? Are you careless about what your mind dwells on? Have you made a covenant with your eyes? Job said, I made a covenant with his eyes. He didn't want to be careless about what he looked at. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot to hold forgiveness towards people. Amen. Talked about that a little bit the other night. When people think they just get by with unforgiveness. They think they're right with God and they're so full of hatred and unforgiveness towards people. Friend, Jesus made it very clear in the book of Mark, 11th chapter. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have an ought against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Amen. I got to forgive in order to be forgiven. In And if I don't forgive, I cannot be forgiven. Amen. There was a young man, and he had been deep in sin. I met him through the mission in Mobile. And he just lives, the mission just about 4 miles from our house. And he was over at our place, and I was talking to him about the Lord, about getting saved. He had been deep in sin. He'd been involved in just about everything. He'd been involved even in sodomy. And I said, "Won't you give your heart to God? Won't you repent? Well, God will save you right here." He said, "No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready right now." But a little time went by, and he come back over, and he said, "Pray with me. I want to get saved. Can you pray?" I said, "Yeah." And we prayed right there. And God gloriously saved this man. I mean, God changed him. That's been 6 months ago. And he's got the sweetest spirit. And you know, he has the job. He's staying at the mission. Though he's graduated, he's staying there and helping out. And his job, one of his jobs is, when someone decides to leave the mission, they don't just let them walk. It's out in the country. They will drive them about 30 minutes into Mobile and drop them off at the Walmart store. So there was a man there that decided he didn't want to stay there. He didn't want to give up his tobacco. You can't smoke there. He didn't want that type of lifestyle. He wanted to get back on doing what he had been doing. And they try to convince you you're making a mistake. Just wait. That God helped. No, but he wanted to go. And when they'd say, "I'm going," well, then they'll take him to town. And on the way to town, he asked this brother, "Can I borrow your phone?" And he said, "Sure." I didn't call my parents and tell them to pick me up at Walmart. When he called his parents said, "No, you left the mission. We're not coming and getting you." Did you know that was a good thing to do? You know what that's called? Tough love. Amen? Tough love. He don't want to work. He wants to do his thing. But he wants mom and daddy to support him. I said, "No, we're not coming getting you. You had a place to live. They was feeding you. They was taking care of you. You had everything you needed. No, we're not going to come get you." And he commits to cuss and swear. His mom and dad. And that brother looked over at him. And he said, "When I looked over there, I saw me." He said, "That's what I used to do. When mom and dad wouldn't give me what I wanted." Don't enable your son or your daughter if they're on drugs and alcohol. Don't enable them. It might be hard. It might hurt you. But the best thing you to do sometimes is let them hit rock bottom. And so he said, "I couldn't wait for him to get out of the car because I saw myself. And as soon as he got out of the car, I called my mom, I called my dad, and I said, 'Mom, forgive me. Dad, forgive me.'" Sometimes we have to go through some things to see what we did to hurt others. Amen. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot to commit the sin of prayerlessness. Do you know prayerlessness is sin? That's right. Prayerlessness is still sin. 1 Samuel 12 and verse number 23, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." Jesus spake a parable unto them that they, to this end, that they ought to always to pray and not to faint. Have you fainted in your prayer life? Do you pray regularly? How's your prayer life? Jesus said to pray without ceasing. When we cease in our prayer life, we commit sin. I don't want to get caught up in this. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot to cool off and cease praying. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's amazing that some folks just think they're so good that they don't need all the services. No one is so spiritual that they don't need all the services. Amen. There's one thing when you're too old, you can't make all the services. There's one thing when you gotta work. But my friend, when you're neglectful about the house of God, that is still sin. You need to be here every Sunday morning. You need to be here every Sunday night. You need to be here every Wednesday night. You need to be here every revival service. You need to go all the fellowship meetings you can go to. You need to get all the Word of God, amen, that you can get, because he said, not forsaking the assembling of themselves together as a manner of some end, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, so much the more, so much the more, as you see the day approaching. And I believe the day's approaching. Amen. You think you're right with God and neglectful about the house of God? I know you probably don't like this, but I love it. I love the church that Jesus built, and I know that it's right. So I go to church on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I love to sing the songs of God. Such worship must be right. This I do on Sunday morning, but not on a Sunday night. God bless our preacher too, and give him power and might to put a sinner in his place, but I won't be there on Sunday night. I love to hear the gospel too. It gives me pure delight. I hear it on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I'd go through rain, sleet, or snow, do anything right to be to church on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. And I know I need more strength to keep me in the fight. For help, I go to church on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. Yes, we all must die. And I hope I'll be doing right, so may I die on Sunday morning, not on Sunday night. Amen. We need it, friends. There's something wrong with us if we don't want to go to church. Amen. Amen. There's a hunger that should be in our souls. We shouldn't have to be made to go to church. We ought to want to go to church. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm 61 years old and I still like going to church. I love the house of God. Amen. Somebody said, that's because you know I love going to the house of God long before I ever preached a message. Amen. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot to be flirting around with the world. Eternity's too long for this, saints. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Friend, there's no ifs and ands and buts about it, is it? He said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And this is clear. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Everything that you love in the world is passing away. That's what he said. The world passing away and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. James tells us in the 4th chapter, verse 4, that the enmity of this, that the friendship of this world is enmity with God. That's pretty serious. 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Freeing ourselves from the love of the world is not optional, saints. Bible says, in Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Where's our affections tonight? Have we set them on the things of this earth? He said, don't do it. Set your affections on things above. Amen. It's not popular, but love for God and love for the world cannot coexist. That's what the Bible says. Love for God and love for the world cannot coexist. And anything that's in the world that's not of God can rob our hearts of the love of God. Eternity is too long. Hell's too hot for us not to have a passion for souls. You got a passion for souls? Christ had a passion for souls. I can't help but think about the scripture in the book of Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I believe we can look at that in two ways. Where there's no vision, the lost around us will perish. And I fear that we will perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. If there was a time that the church needs a vision, it's today. Eternity is too long. And hell's too hot to compromise now. Amen. I don't want to compromise. Why? Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot. Somebody said, you think that a person loses out with God because they compromise? Yeah, I do. I believe the Bible bears that out. In John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. Amen. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Walk in light. Why do you have the light? Lest darkness come upon you. When we compromise to win, we don't win. We've been won. Compromise flourishes when a decision to do right is not made ahead of time. Satan makes sure that the steps of compromise are very slow, so they're not hardly recognized. That's why we need to decide right now not to live the approved norm of the rest of the world. We need to make up our mind. Compromise occurs when you underestimate evil and flirt with temptation. That's what happened to Balaam in the Word of God. He flirted with temptation. Think about this. Satan has had 6,000 years of experience of bending the human mind and getting men and women, boys and girls to think his way. And I'm going to tell you something about the devil. He's very, very patient. He has a plan to soften us up by gradually weakening our spiritual defenses through worldly compromise. That's what the devil's trying to do. The slow trickle of erosion that goes unseen by the unexpected eye. By gradual erosion, he's diluting our moral resolve that won't endure the real test when it comes. When Satan has his trap baited, we will not be able to resist. I believe tonight that the trap is sprung and he's waiting for you to take that fatal step of compromise. What change has taken place in your life in the last 20 years? Look at your life. Where have you changed in the last 20 years? And it's a possibility that another 20 years will find you not being able to distinguish between light and darkness, between good and evil. That's what happens to people when they compromise. They can no longer distinguish between light and darkness and good and evil. And when you're drifting in compromise, all sorts of evil comes into your soul. Compromise ensnares to the rationalization of deception. Gradual compromise can blind our senses and distort our judgments. Yes, compromise finally occurs when, with a refusal to think about our actions. Compromise always cost. All sin has the same consequences. And you know what the consequences of sin is. The wages of sin is death. That consequence may not come tomorrow. That consequence may not come next week. But my friend, sooner or later, the consequences will come. Eternity is too long. Hell's too hot just to go drifting through life. A lot of folks just drifting. They're going with the tide. Friend, if we're going to heaven, we can't drift with the tide. We got to buck the tide because the majority is going in the wrong direction. And to go to heaven, we got to turn around and go against because multitudes are going the wrong way. And if we're going the right way, we got to go against it.
Amen.
And if we're going with the crowd, friend, we're on our way to hell. Because it's the broad way that leads to destruction. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot to take any chances on going there. Some said, is that the only reason you're going to heaven? Because you don't want to go to hell? No. The song explained it best. I love him too much to fail him now. But every once in a while, we need to think about this also. There's consequences to going against God. There's consequences to not obeying God. Come on now, saints. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot for us to play around. I'm too old to play around with Satan's toys. And you are too. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot for us to allow our love to wax cold. It's happening all around us, and the Bible talked about it in the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse number 12, and he said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. As this sin that's abounding, it's iniquity. If I'm not careful, if you're not careful, all that's going on around us will cause our love for God to wax cold. Revelation talks about in the second chapter, verse number 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Friend, it'd be good for us just to stop for a minute and remember how things used to be and remember a time when we were closer to God than we are right now. We had a different prayer life than we have right now. We was into the Word of God more than we are right now. We was more interested in souls than we are right now. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Think back how things used to be. Repent, do thy first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot for us to get lukewarm now. I know thy works that thou art neither cold nor hot. So then because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. God said, I'm not going to put up with it. Friend, this is serious. He meant what he said. He won't put up with lukewarmness. I want you to be hot, but I don't want you lukewarm. I want you to be on fire for me. And if you go on in this lukewarm condition, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. It still happens to people sitting on Church of God pews. Just sitting there, getting lukewarm. The fire is almost gone. Too far out to be in. Too far in to be out. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot to be at ease in Zion. We read the scripture last night out of the book of Amos, the 6th chapter, verse number. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. What does that mean, Zion? That's the church. What's that mean? Be at ease, loss of consciousness, unconcern about the things of Christ because we're more concerned about the things of the world. When you're preoccupied with the love of worldly things, satisfied with sensual pleasures, living at ease with no concern for the future, just indifferent, amen, unconcerned, spurning God's love, slowly drifting away from the church and the work of the church. They were once active. They were once useful. They've become cold and indifferent and unconcerned. They're at ease in Zion. They got to where they never attend anything of the church. They never make a contribution to the church, financially, physically, or spiritually. Oh, they used to be a big supporter of the church, and now they're critical of everything in the church. They're unwilling to accept any responsibility. Oh, they might accept responsibility and then they never fulfill. They want a position, but they don't want to be there to fill that position. They don't show concern when the attendance is low. They always want to know, well, where's so-and-so, but they never call them to find out. They're not concerned enough to agonize and pray. Instead, they're making phone calls to decide whose side they're going to be on. I'm fully convinced if we did more talking to God in prayer and less talking to our team in the corner on the phone, the church would be a better place. At ease in Zion. It's the friendship of this world. It's the favorable walk with the enemy of the church. Further away from the old paths by choice. Lack of courage to stand. Conviction without courage. Absence from the services. Dropped out for Sunday pleasure. Delayed prayers and Bible study. Missed another Sunday. Drifted further and farther. And the farther you drift, the more difficult it is to get back. That's right. People become cold towards the saints. A cold spirit. No vision for the lost going to hell. No victory over the devil. No victory over sin. No visitation. No soul winning. God is dealing with the problem of his own people. They become lazy. They become slack. They become indifferent. They become careless. They take little or no active part in the service. They don't feel a place in the church. They just fill a pew, denying Christ of his rightful place. The tragedy of the whole thing. While the church is asleep, every agency of the devil is wide awake tonight. Every agency of the devil is wide awake.
Amen.
While professing Amen. Christians sleep.
Right.
I'm telling you, friend, we better heed this warning tonight. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Those with an at-ease attitude ought to stop tonight, sit up, and take notice of what the Word of God's saying. The wrath of God is a terrible thing when it's stirred up. Friend, God by nature is kind. He's gentle. He's long-suffering. He's patient. But when his people continue to be at ease, God can become offended. Friend, there is recorded in the Bible some terrible things that God permitted when his people were hard-hearted in their disobedience. Paul put it like this in the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Are you at ease in Zion tonight? Are you at ease when the world is damned? Let me ask you a question. Who are the people that Jesus came to save? Do you know who Jesus came to save? He came to save sinners. He came to save the prostitutes. He came to save the drunkards. He came to save the gambler. Amen. About a month ago, there was a fellow came to church, and my son invited him. And he's raised Roman Catholic. And God got a hold of his heart. He didn't come to the altar, but God's dealing with him. He didn't know what it's all about. He told my son the next week, said, I think your dad was up there trying to recruit me. He came back the next Sunday. Came back the next Sunday and got saved. Amen. But you wonder about people if they really got it, you know. And got a couple weeks after he got saved, I got an opportunity to spend some time with him. And he's kind of a funny fellow, and it's kind of hard to get to know him. But he looked me in the eyes, he said, "I want to know what kind of spell you put on me down there at the altar." I said, "I didn't put no spell on you." I said, "Why you say that?" He said, "I haven't been to the casinos in 2 weeks." He had been bound by that thing. Amen. I said, "He's got it now." Amen. He had it so bad that he went and signed papers that he wouldn't come back for a year. He lost so much money gambling. He went and you can go sign up and you can't get in no casinos. You sign up, he signed up. He couldn't get back in for a year, but as soon as that year up, he went back and started again. I said, "Won't you just go down there and sign up for life that you're not coming back?" He said, "Because I want God to help me." I said, "That's good." Amen. He came to save the gambler. He came to save the sodomite. He came to save the publican. He came to save the murderers. He came to save the thief. Now another question. What kind of people are we the furthest from? Them kind of people. We don't want nothing to do with them. But Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Last but not least, I'm talking to the sinner now. Eternity's too long. Hell's too hot for you to put off your salvation. Eternity's a long time. If you could just understand how long eternity is, how hot hell is, you'd run to this altar. Bible says in the book of Proverbs 27 and verse number 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." He skipped two chapters, went to 29, verse number 1. He said, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." The Bible warns that every human being is subject to sudden death. I am right now. I'm subject to sudden death. You're subject to sudden death. No one has a promise of another day or another hour. We never know when we'll be swept into eternity by a car wreck, a heart attack, an act of violence, natural disaster, freak accident. Thousands of people die today, and many can't see it coming. They woke up this morning, they showered, they dressed, they grabbed a cup of coffee, and they dashed out the door, never dreaming they were leaving their doorstep for the final time. They had no idea. They had no feeling. They wasn't even feeling bad. But what I'm saying is the truth. The Bible teaches that our days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle. Like the flower quickly fading, and like the vapor that appears for a little time. One of the worst things about hell is the memory doesn't die. The inhabitants of hell remember opportunities they had to get saved. They'll remember church service they attended. They'll remember tracts that they did not read. They'll remember Bibles that they shrugged off. Are you ready to meet Christ? Are you in danger of waiting too late? What about you? Have you yielded your life to Christ? The Apostle Paul said, "Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Bible's very clear. At the moment a person dies, he either goes to heaven or hell. When a person takes their last breath, when a person's heart stops beating, there's no delay and going to one or two of these places, heaven or hell. Where would you go if you died this very moment? Where would you be in eternity? Are you sure that you would be in heaven? I want to talk to you, sinner friend. You got a lot going for you tonight. Backslider, sinner friend, got a lot going for you. I want to tell you what you got going for you. Your mother wants you to get saved. Your dad wants you to get saved. Your wife wants you to get saved. Your husband wants you to get saved. Your children want you to get saved. Your brothers want you to get saved. Your sisters want you to get saved. You've got a godly pastor and his wife, and they want you to get saved. I'm the evangelist. I want you to get saved. All the saints in this building want you to get saved. But that's nothing. God the Father wants you to get saved. God the Son wants you to get saved. God the Holy Ghost wants you to get saved. And the reason we all want you to get saved is eternity's too long and hell's too hot. And we don't want you to be lost. Amen. That's why we want you to get saved. That's why we're having revival. That's why there's prayer going up for you. Because eternity is too long. Hell's too hot. No mother, no father, no companion can bear the thought of their son, their daughter, their husband, their wife, their children, their grandchildren going into a lost eternity. That's more than we can bear. That's why we're here. What about it tonight? What about you Christians? How is it with you? Did we get on some things tonight where you're coming short? Well, let's get it cleared up. Thank you, Father, for helping us bring the message you laid upon our heart. Search us out as your people. Lord, we are eternity-bound individuals.